Hey, this is Mike Zwick from If Not For God podcast. Our show, Stories of Hopelessness Turned Into Hope. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it. Share it. But most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Nikita Koloff here. Questions and answers. Q&A with Koloff, the devil's nightmare. Welcome back. Another episode of Q&A with Koloff. Questions and answers. And this is where you get the opportunity to ask me questions. Normally, I'm the one asking the questions and searching for the answers. But this is your opportunity, and would love to hear from you, would love to be able to reach out to you and get you on the Q&A show, and we'll give you some information at the end on how you can do that. But in the studio with me today, Todd Feckle, did I say that last
Feckle.
Name? Felkel. Felkel.
Yeah, as long as you don't say fecal, that's a totally different matter.
Well, okay? that is, now I know you're not in comedy here, but I know who you hang around a lot, and I think that guy rubs off on you. But all that to say.
Yeah, you got it. Todd Feckle.
Todd, welcome to the Q&A show with Koloff.
It's good to be here, man. It's an honor and privilege, and it's hard to believe I'm in the same room with the Russian nightmare, and man, it's good to be here. Thank you.
So we'll get to that. Let me just say this first. So you pastor a church.
Yes.
Tell our listeners.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the pastor of Bethlehem Christian Church in the Altamaha Hall community of Elon, North Carolina, and I've been there over 7 years now, and I love the ministry there, love the people there, love the area. I also volunteer on Thursdays and Fridays at the local Western Alamance varsity football team.
Okay.
And that's pretty exciting, and because I played 4 years of college football at Gardner Webb. And I'm also on the board of directors for the Missionary Air Group at the local airport there in Burlington for a group of missionaries that that fly planes into hard-to-reach people groups.
Okay.
In different parts of the world. So that's what I'm a part of there in Burlington, North Carolina, and glad to be there.
Got a family?
Yes, I have a wife that I've been married to for 27 years, Christy. We met at Gardner Webb College. I asked her out the very first time I saw her in the cafeteria. I immediately asked her out. And
she said yes?
She said no.
Oh, okay.
And now, my friend did kind of put me up to it. It might have been a little bit of a joke, but I was hoping she was going to say yes.
Right.
But anyway, I worked up enough courage to ask her out again. I was a really shy person back then. And she said yes that second time. So I guess the rest is history. But yeah, I've got three daughters. And so my oldest daughter.
What are their names?
Hannah, Caitlin, and Jessica. My oldest got married a couple of years ago. And my middle daughter just got engaged. She's going to be getting married in May. And I've got an 18-year-old that's a senior in high school right now.
Wow, congratulations. And I know, of course, Burlington, infamous in my eyes anyway, home of Don Kernodle, who was instrumental in Nikita Koloff even existing.
Really? Okay.
Don Kernodle so just tell you that story real quick. Don Kernodle and Sergeant Slaughter.
Yes. I've seen him in Home Depot before.
Yeah, who actually has a place in Burlington.
Yeah.
Slaughter does. Mm-hmm. So the two of them are the brainchild behind the idea of a nephew for Ivan Koloff becoming an uncle. And of course, a phone call to Roadwear, actually a conversation with Roadwear Animal by Don Kernodle. Do you know any big guys who wouldn't mind shaving their head and becoming a Russian?
Wow.
Was the question. Animal goes, I know the guy right now. Animal makes the phone call. The next thing you know, I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, meeting Jim Crockett Jr. and Don Kernodle and Ivan Koloff, who were the NWA World Tag Team Champions at the time. And Nikita Koloff is birthed in the hallways of Charlotte in 1984.
Wow, that's really
That's
neat.
The backstory on that.
That's amazing. Yeah, just being in that Burlington, North Carolina area, I've heard so many wonderful things about Don Kernodle. I never had the privilege of meeting him, but I've seen his picture up in places all around that area. And I was sorry to hear that he passed away recently, and I knew that he was instrumental in your life. And I know he must have been an amazing man.
He was, and I was honored. It was an honor to speak at his service, and with a great turnout. He was in law enforcement up there
with the Alamance County.
With
Sheriff Terry Johnson and those folks.
15-20 years.
Group of guys there.
Yep, he served in the sheriff's department there faithfully, and many of the sheriff and law enforcement were out at his funeral service, and so some connection there. And then, of course, you know, I've ministered. We've done a Man Up conference. At your church. We try to bring a group of men together and challenge men to be men at your church, the Man Up Conference.
Yes, that was wonderful.
Then I preached, and I think it was an outdoor service that I preached.
Yeah, we had worship on the lawn out there in the front yard of the church, and we have a beautiful front yard of our church right there back during the pandemic. And the first Sunday we returned back to church after we got through that lockdown stage, it happened on homecoming, and we were able to actually come back on our traditional homecoming Sunday, worship on the lawn. And yeah, we had you there for that Sunday, and also had you there for that Man Up conference, and it was great to have the guys come in and to have you just to speak life and truth into them, how to man up for Christ, and it meant a lot to our community and our guys.
Hey, no pressure, Todd, but out of the four guys in this room, you're the only one that hasn't been to a man camp, just so you know.
Okay.
No pressure, though, but
I know you want me to be there. I'm going to have to carve that out and figure that out. You're not going to let me live that down.
I'm just saying, no pressure, just pointing the obvious out.
You won't be the man up.
As I'm looking around this room, I'm just saying. So
I hear you.
I can tell you this. I can say this. I think everyone in this room would vouch for this, especially men in ministry, to have an outlet like that, an opportunity, a place to go, and just to be able to unwind, take all of the serving hats off and just come and receive. For many, especially many in ministry, and we get a lot of people in the marketplace that come, but for many in ministry, they go back home, whether renewed or a fresh vision, a new vision, or just restored in some cases. I mean, it's pretty life-changing. It's pretty powerful. So just plant that seed with you.
I like it. Sounds great.
Well, we'll transition from that into asking me. Well, let's flip it around now. Did you grow up a wrestling fan?
I did. I grew up a wrestling fan. I remember watching you and Ivan and y'all were the guys that everybody loved to hate, you know. And I guess that's what made it so – one of the reasons it made it so great. Looking back now at it now, I'm like, you know, if it wasn't for your guys, for you and Ivan, we probably wouldn't have enjoyed it near as much.
Yeah.
But I was always pulling for the other guy for sure, but now I'm pulling for you now. And I'm like, this is just wild how this has come full circle.
Yeah.
But I absolutely loved wrestling. I'd stay up late at night and watch it all the time.
Who are some of the guys? Who do you remember? Who are some of the guys you remember?
Dusty Rhodes was probably my favorite at the time.
Okay.
The American Dream.
Yep.
I loved his accent, the way he talked.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
And draw me in and how he fought the Nature Boy Ric Flair. And that rivalry they had was pretty awesome.
Right.
And back then I was always a Dusty Rhodes fan, but it seems like these days I'm more of a Ric Flair fan, and I look back at how his greatness and how great he was.
He had an incredible career.
And
he really did. Who else? Name some other names. Who else do you remember?
Well, the Road Warriors were amazing. That other tag team group, wasn't it called the Rock and Roll Express or something
Ricky
like that?
Ricky and Robert. The heartthrob of all the girls. The heartthrob of all the girls.
Yeah, there you go. Now you're talking.
Ricky and Robert. Midnight Express.
Yes.
Wahoo McDaniel.
Yeah.
Remember that name at all?
I remember those guys. The guy that had the 2x4 on his shoulder.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah, Hacksaw. I just thought he was neat.
Ho! that was his deal. Ho! Put his thumb up and cross-eyed and couldn't see.
He was so funny.
He couldn't even see the 2x4 that he was holding. But anyway.
And the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The way
jump
he
into
could
a
talk.
Slim Jim. Dig it. Yeah.
You know, the way those guys could talk, the way y'all could talk and play and carry on and just watching how eloquent y'all were and stuff like that was amazing.
Hold on. I have to stop you right there. I've never put the word eloquent with professional wrestling.
Oh.
But hey, I'll take it. Eloquent.
Well, let me tell you where I'm going with this.
Okay.
Because I'm leading up to something here.
You're leading up to a question.
Yeah, I am. Because when I was a teenager watching these wrestlers, and when I'd go to church and listen to my pastor preach and things like this, and God's calling me to be a preacher, okay?
At what age?
And at a young age. I'm thinking as young as 13.
Okay.
And I struggled with it for probably three years. And I was like, there's no way I can. You know, most people have the fear of public speaking.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest fear of most people.
Right.
And I had that. And when God began to speak to me, and there wasn't a day that didn't go by that I didn't think upon, you know, God, it was like God impressed upon my mind and heart, preacher, preacher, preacher. He wanted me to be a preacher.
Okay.
And now I finally am. But, man, I had to overcome a lot of inadequacies and
anxiety
and insecurities.
Insecurities,
and
sure.
It really just took years to kind of work through some of those things. And sometimes I still get nervous.
That's what man camp's for. But keep going. So
Yeah, right. So good. I'm with you.
Keep going.
So, but if I remember correctly, that was a long time there that you really didn't say much in wrestling.
That's correct.
And it's amazing how God can even use that.
I hadn't learned English yet.
And I hear you. But I was wanting to hear a little bit more about that journey. Can you tell me? Because, you know, I was just minding my own business as a young boy. I just liked to football and go fishing.
Yeah.
And he was calling me to be a preacher. And finally, I just had to surrender to that fact that I had to talk and share Jesus with people. And can you share with me a little bit more about that journey for you? That how long did you go without speaking?
Okay.
And you were successful.
Right.
And then you made a transition to speaking for Christ. It's amazing.
Well, what's funny is, still to this day, even with the advent of the internet and everything else, they're like, people are like, so you're really not from Russia? Or what happened to your accent? I mean, I had someone recently, I was doing a big conference in Fort Mill, South Carolina, down at Morningstar Ministries. And part of the introduction, we were kind of joking about that. And they came up to me at the book signing in the bookstore, and they're like, how did you improve your English so well? Totally serious.
Stuff like that.
I'm like, all right, let me tell you, I'm not really from Russia.
Right.
So, yeah, in my mind, Todd, here's what I knew. Part of the storyline was I didn't speak any English. I'm fresh off the boat from Russia.
Right.
I was supposed to compete in the 84 Olympics, but it was boycotted by Russia, so I couldn't compete. And so I'm going to team up with my uncle, Ivan Korov Zhatoeta. And so I thought, well, and they said, okay, so I don't even have to speak. I just have to go out and just destroy guys.
That's right.
Right?
And you did.
So I did that for about 6 months where I didn't talk anywhere in public at all for 6 months.
Right.
Anywhere in public. And very little in the dressing rooms. In fact, guys still bust my chops for when I did start talking in the dressing rooms, talking with my accent. They're like, dude, we're like smart to the business. Can you not just talk to us in your normal voice or whatever? But I came to learn it was called method acting, which I didn't go to acting school. I didn't know any of that. But I projected myself into that character. And then when the decision came, I was going to start speaking and start talking. In my mind, I went, well, if I really was from there, how would this word sound? How would that word sound? Like Magnum T.A., right? You remember that name, Magnum T.A.?
I remember him, yes.
So if you remember, it was Maggot T.A.
Yes.
So it kind of sounded like maggot, right? Because one, it was supposed to be insulting, while at the same time, he doesn't know how to say Magnum. Poor guy. Maggot T.A., I'm going to destroy you.
Back to my childhood.
Does that bring back memories?
It does.
So that's how it evolved. Is I started thinking, how would this word sound, that word sound, how would this phrase sound? And since I'm just learning English, it's got to be a really heavy accent. And hopefully they won't even know what it won't even make sense to them, because they're like, I don't think he knows what he's saying. And it proved out to this day.
Well, that's amazing. I also remember The Million-Dollar Man.
Ted DiBiase.
Okay. Yep. I remember the first church I pastored, the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church in Springfield, South Carolina. And in Wagner, South Carolina, which isn't far from there, they had Million-Dollar Man came. Sting came that night.
Okay.
I think he was going to be the main attraction.
Okay.
And after they had this bout in the ring, then I think it was Million-Dollar Man and maybe Sting and some of the other guys share their testimony. And I remember hearing about a movement of God among some of the wrestlers.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you were in on that and part of that movement, maybe you could share with me more about how so many of these wrestlers made the transition from what they did professionally to coming to know the Lord. It's almost like a revival or spiritual awakening of some sort.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say I wouldn't necessarily say so many.
Okay, however, well, that's what I want to know.
However, a handful have, and Sting being one, Lex Luger being one, Tully Blanchard being one, Magnum T.A.
Tully Blanchard, I remember that. Yeah,
a believer, a follower in Christ, Ted DiBiase. Eventually, Road Warrior Hawk came to the Lord a year and a half before he died. Road Warrior Animal made a profession of faith. So there have been a handful of these guys that reached the pinnacle of success and realized that all of the bling and the baubles and trinkets and all that, all success, the pinnacle of success still leaves you empty and a void inside without a relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm. And so many of those guys I mentioned, well, all of the guys I mentioned, came to that realization. And the other part of your question was, did I have some role or some part in that? Mm-hmm. The answer is yes. Ivan Koloff, I mean, I invited him to a revival in 1995 that he showed up, and I didn't know he was there until he was at the altar surrendering his life to the Lord. And I knew his lifestyle prior, right? I traveled on the road with the man. I knew him well. You know, stayed in the same hotel room together, rode in the same car together. I knew his addictions and his shortcomings. And so to see him transformed that night at the altar, I mean, set free of drug addiction, alcohol addiction, tobacco addiction. I don't know that another cuss word ever came out of his mouth after that night at the altar. Road Warrior Hawk invited Animal to a conference in Phoenix, Arizona. Larry Karachuk, Athletes International Ministries, he asked if he could bring Hawk. Hawk was well known as the biggest partier on the planet, and nobody was going to put him down. He was going to put everyone down. And Animal said, can we bring him to the conference? I said, well, Joe, you know it's a Christian conference, right? You want to invite Hawk? He goes, I just feel I should. Well, he did. He came. Jensen Franklin was the keynote speaker the very first night. Hawk came to the altar, first one there, surrendered his life to Jesus, had a life-changing transformation, baptized him in the pool there at the Scottsdale Resort that weekend, brought him on the road, started mentoring and discipling him for a year and a half prior to his passing. So I think that's kind of the answer to your question.
Yeah, it's amazing. When I look back on my own life, and then when I think about what God's done in your life, I'm just like, it's got to be the amazing grace of God that I'm just able to get up to speak like I do every Sunday morning and share with folks, because I know it's not anything I've done.
It's all it is for any of us. God's grace.
Yeah.
God's grace.
It's amazing.
We got time for one more question, Todd. What do you got?
I appreciate you. Well, I don't know. I'm just thinking off the top of my head right now. Did you have a favorite place that you liked to wrestle at? Favorite ring?
Arena?
That you went to that you really enjoyed? Right, yeah.
Yep. Yep. Actually, I did. Baltimore, Maryland. Our dear friend Frank Shelton doesn't live far from there.
Yeah, Frank's the one who connected us.
He's the one
that connected. That's how I know you.
Yeah, you guys went to school. You guys went to school together at Gardner Webb, right? And and you got to build this relationship, and all these years later, you're
right in ministry.
I know you recently had him in the past. You've had him in numerous times actually, but I know you guys did a big conference just recently at your church, Baltimore Arena.
Really?
And I'll tell you just very briefly why it was a favorite place to wrestle. My first appreciation for the fans of Baltimore came when Jim Crockett had the brainstorm, the idea of booking Ric Flair and I in the main event world heavyweight title match in both Richmond, Virginia and Baltimore, Maryland on the same night.
Whoa.
Yeah, not a matinee and a night show, same night. And we had private planes and all that at that moment in time. And so we went on in Richmond. They started that show an hour before the show in Baltimore, thinking we'd have plenty of time, and went on before intermission, which the fans were not happy about. A world heavyweight title match before intermission. They were not happy.
Yeah.
Wrestled 30, 35 minutes. Hustled out to the airport. I don't even know that we showered. Jumped on the private planes. flew to Baltimore, limousines waiting to take us to the arena. By the time we got to the arena, and there's no cell phones back in those days, right? So the promoter has no clue where we are. None.
Right.
Right? No idea. So almost all the matches really are, in fact, when we walked into the arena, they were putting up the cage. There was a Road Warriors were in a cage match. They had a cage match. Then they had to take the cage down, and all that takes time before Rick and I ever got to step into the ring. Well, that show started at 8 o'clock in Baltimore. Rick and I stepped into the ring. I'll never forget looking at the clock at the end of the – at 12 midnight.
Whoa.
They'd already been there 4-plus hours, the fans.
Oh.
We wrestled for 55 minutes because when I looked at the clock, it was 12:55 when the final bell rang.
Word.
And so two matches, two nights. So that was my first appreciation, and they were on their feet the entire match for 55 minutes, the fans of Baltimore. They were amazing.
Oh, that's neat.
Even though they've been there that long. And then the other part B of that story is the Jim Crockett Cup Tag Team Tournament, which was a two-day tournament in Baltimore. So we got to experience the Inner Harbor, Little Italy, Sabatino's in Little Italy. Still to this day, one of the favorite places to go. In fact, recently I did some ministry outside of Baltimore, and they took me back to Little Italy, back to Sabatino's after 25-year hiatus. Same owners, and they were beside themselves because they all they were huge wrestling fans.
Yeah.
And now the sons are running the restaurant, and they all wanted pictures and everything. And so that was pretty cool. Baltimore, Maryland. So great questions, my brother.
Great questions. Man.
Well, great to have you, Todd, on the Q&A with Koloff. And we'll have to get you back again for the Man Up show sometime.
All right. Sounds great, man.
Well, thanks for dialing in. Hey, listen, if you want me to call you or maybe bring you into the studio, email me at KolofForChrist@gmail.com. That's KolofForChrist@gmail.com. Be sure to go to my website too, Koloff.net. You can actually connect with me right through there, Koloff.net. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in.
This is the Truth Network.